Oh, we're very glad tonight to see those who have come along. We thank you for coming to the meeting. And we would trust that the preaching of the gospel will be a blessing to you. It certainly would be a wonderful time in the experience of any individual if they were to discover their need of Christ and find Him as their personal Savior. We trust this will be the result of the preaching of the gospel tonight. I would like to read in the opening part of the meeting, first of all, from the prophecy of Isaiah and chapter 58, and reading verse 1. Cry aloud, spare not. Lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgression, and the house of Jacob their sins. Yet they seek me daily and delight to know my ways as a nation that did righteousness and forsook not the ordinance of their God. They ask of me the ordinance of justice. They take delight in approaching to God. Another verse, please, that I would like to read in the book of Daniel. Portion that has been referred to previously. Book of Daniel, and chapter 5. And read at verse 17. Then Daniel answered and said before the king, Let thy gifts be to thyself, and give thy rewards to another. Yet I will read the writing unto the king, and make known to him the interpretation. O thou king, the most high God gave Nebuchadnezzar thy father a kingdom, and majesty, and glory, and honor. And for the majesty that he gave him, all people, nations, and languages trembled, and feared before him, whom he would he slew, and whom he would he kept alive, and whom he would he set up, and whom he would he put down. But when his heart was lifted up, and his mind hardened in pride, he was deposed from his kingly throne, and they took his glory from him, and he was driven from the sons of men, and his heart was made like the beasts, and his dwelling was with the wild asses. They fed him with grass like oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till he knew that the Most High God ruled in the kingdom of men, and that he appointeth over it whomsoever he will. And thou, his son, O Belshazzar, hast not humbled thine heart, though thou knewest all this, but hast lifted up thyself against the Lord of heaven, and they have brought the vessels of his house before thee, and thou and thy lords and thy wives and thy concubines have drunk wine in them, and thou hast praised the gods of silver and gold, of brass, iron, wood, and stone, which see not, nor hear, nor know, and the God in whose hand thy breath is, and whose are all thy ways, hast thou not glorified. Now, another portion of the Word of God, please, in the Gospel of John, and chapter 12. Gospel of John, chapter 12. And reading, please, at verse 27. The Lord is speaking, Now is my soul troubled. What shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name. Then came there a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. The people therefore that stood by and heard it said that it thundered. Others said an angel spake to him. Jesus answered and said, This voice came not because of me, but for your sake. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. This he said, signifying what death he should die. The people answered him, We have heard out of the law that Christ abideth forever. And how sayest thou, the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man? Last reading, please, in Luke's Gospel, chapter 16, familiar portion. Verse 22. And it came to pass that the beggar died, and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. He cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water, and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Now God will bless the portions of his word that we have read together to our hearts tonight. What's upon my mind is to look briefly at a little thought in each of these scriptures that we have read together. In Isaiah chapter 58, we have read there of the lifted voice of warning. Lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgression, and the house of Jacob their sin. I believe it's God's mind that we should bring to our attention the sins that we are guilty of, and the sins that are going to keep men and women from the blessing of eternal life and heaven. Then we have read in Daniel chapter 5, and we could have read in numerous places in the Word of God, where we read about a man whose heart was lifted up with pride, to his destruction, and it was the cause of his downfall, because he had a heart that was lifted up with pride. John chapter 12, and I would like to point out from John chapter 12 that we have the lifted man of Calvary, the man that was lifted up to die for sinners. I would like to point this out as God's way of salvation tonight. We have read those solemn words in Luke's Gospel chapter 16 about a man who had his opportunity in life. He passed into eternity, and it says that he lifted up his eyes, being in torments. What a solemn way to open one's eyes when one ventures out into eternity, when one passes from time into the great beyond, to open the eyes and understand for the first time in a moment that I'm here in a place of judgment. I'm here in the plains of the wrath of God. What must it be for an unconverted soul, one who has known the gospel and has never bowed to the claim of the Lord Jesus Christ? I want to notice in Isaiah chapter 58, here was the word of God to the prophet, lift up thy voice like a trumpet. I know that it isn't everybody that's very pleased sometimes when we shout or when we raise our voice. Oftentimes, people have come to our gospel tent or to places where we're preaching, and they say to us afterwards, why do you have to talk so loud? Why do you have to shout at the people? Well, I want to tell you, friend, one of the reasons that oftentimes we have to raise our voice is because we would like men and women to be verily conscious that they have sinned against God, and that their sins are going to bring them down to eternal judgment unless they make a change in their life. Some people don't seem to take very seriously the truth that we're preaching. Don't seem to understand that we're talking about eternal matters. These aren't just a matter of who's going to run the government in a little while. That's on the minds of people today. But friend, something far more important than that. Not the matter of putting another satellite up into space like they did today or something like that. My friend, these are trivial matters
compared with the matter of your soul and where it's going to be for all eternity. We're here for a moment and we're gone forever. And friend, you have sinned against the God of heaven and you're going to have to give account of your sins. What about your sin tonight, friend? Lift up thy voice like a trumpet, says God, and tell my people their transgression. Make it known to them. My friend, the worst sin that you can be guilty of tonight is the sin of keeping the Lord Jesus on the outside of your life. And I'm looking into the faces of some in this gospel meeting, and you've heard the gospel time and time again. You've come under its sound. You've perhaps sat through series of gospel meetings. You've maybe talked to preachers and all that. You've read your Bible. You've had opportunity. You've heard the prayers of parents and of friends, and you're still in the darkness of your sin. Oh, I tell you how responsible you are going to be before the God of heaven if you stand one day at the great white throne and it's asked, if the question is asked, did you hear the gospel? Did you not know the way? Did they not tell you that sin would keep you out of heaven? Did they not tell you that the worst sin that you could commit is to keep on the outside of your life the man of Calvary, the man we were thinking of last night, who knocks upon the heart's door and with wounded hand wants to come in and take his place in your life and change that life of yours and give you something that will stand you in good stead for all eternity. Oh, friend, tonight, we're to lift up our voice like a trumpet. We're to let men and women know that sin can never enter the presence of God, that sin condemns the sinner to eternal judgment, that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It matters not, friend, the depth of your sin. It matters not how far you've gone into sin. It matters not, friend, the type of sin that you have committed. All sin, friend, is against the God of heaven. David was guilty of committing a sin that is perpetrated all around us on every hand today. And David said, when he's confessing his sin, he says, against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. Oh, David was ready to acknowledge that his sin was against God and that his sins deserved the judgment of God. Friend, tonight, we'd like to lift up our voice like a trumpet and show you your sin. We'd like to lift up our voice like a trumpet, friend, and warn you of the shortness of time, of the reality of eternity, of the ultimate importance of getting your soul saved for eternity, that nothing else in the universe of God is worth a thought. Friend, it's so important that you get to know your sins forgiven and to have peace with God. We were speaking last night about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, friend, we feel like lifting up our voice like a trumpet. When the Lord comes, there's going to be a trumpet sounded, but it's only the saints will hear it, and will rise to be with Christ. And friend, we would like to blow the trumpet and warn you tonight that Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. And at any moment he might come. He might come tonight. Oh, I wonder, as I look around the audience in this room tonight, on this side and over on this side, I wonder how many would rise to be with Christ. I wonder how many would be left sitting with seats around them empty. Oh, you say, do you really believe that matter of the coming of the Lord? Yes, friend, we believe it with all our heart. This word that is settled in heaven, this word is sure, my friend. The Lord himself said, I will come again and receive you unto myself. He's coming. We believe he's coming soon. His coming is imminent. His coming is sure. His coming will be sudden. Friend, one of these moments we're going to hear that shout and we'll be caught up. Are you ready? Are you ready? Oh, friend, I think it must be a terrible thing to be in one's sins. To be always wondering, will he come tonight? Will he come tomorrow? Will he come before I reach my home? Will he come before I lay my head on the pillow? Will he come before I rise in the morning? He's coming again. Lift up thy voice like a trumpet. Oh, friend, we would like to warn you of the coming again of the Lord Jesus Christ. We would like to warn you tonight that there's judgment coming for this ungodly world, and judgment for every soul that is outside of our Lord Jesus Christ. But I want to pass on and notice tonight that the reason that many people are not saved is because their hearts have been lifted up in pride. Oh, that damnable thing called pride! It keeps thousands of souls out of heaven. There are souls in hell tonight, and they're there because of pride. P-R-I-D-E. Damnable pride. The souls are in hell because they were too proud to humble. Too proud to come down and take the place of a poor, guilty sinner. Oh, I wonder, friend, tonight, is that what's keeping you from Christ? I don't know. Maybe it's something else. Whatever it is, let it go. Why be damned for a little bit of pride? Used to be a common expression of Mr. Spurgeon when he preached the gospel. Why be damned, friend, for a little bit of pride? And is it possible that any soul will be in hell? We read about a man called Nebuchadnezzar. We read about his son or his grandson, Belshazzar. Men who knew something about the God of heaven. But men whose hearts were lifted up with pride. There came a time in the experience of Nebuchadnezzar when God allowed that man to lose his throne. So proud was that man as he looked at all the world around him. He claimed to be the ruler of all places in the world at that time. All these are mine. Whom he would he put down, whom he would he lifted up. Whom he would he slew, whom he would he kept alive. Just at his whim, lives were at stake. What power the man had. He claimed it all for himself. God said too much pride. You know what the Bible tells us? It tells us that God has purposed it to stain the pride of all glory and to bring into contempt the honorable of the earth. That man that puts himself up, God is going to bring him down. That individual that thinks they're too good for God's salvation, my friend, one day will be brought down to the sides of the pit. Pride is a terrible thing. Nebuchadnezzar was forced off his throne. Reason left its throne. Nebuchadnezzar, look at him, out there eating grass like an oxen, crawling around on all fours, nails like eagle's claws. There he is, demented, until 7 years passed over him. And there came a time in the experience of Nebuchadnezzar when he acknowledged God was over all. And he gave God the glory for all that had been his, and God put him back on his throne again. Belshazzar said, Daniel, you knew all this. You knew what happened to Nebuchadnezzar because of his pride. And here you are, Belshazzar, and your heart has lifted up the same as Nebuchadnezzar. And you praise the gods of gold and silver and brass and iron and wood and stone. And he says, the God in whose hand thy breath is and whose are all thy ways hast thou not glorified. You were noticing that the other night. Oh, friend, listen. The God in whose hand thy breath is and whose are all thy ways hast thou not glorified. God holds that breath in his hand tonight. All he has to do is close his hand. You know that God has closed his hand on the breath of multitudes tonight in this world. There are souls every moment of time being ushered out into eternity. Some tragically, some because of physical ailment, some with disease. Souls are going out into eternity. I want to tell you, friend, one of these days it's going to be your turn. It's going to be your turn. God will close his hand. Like that tree we were hearing about the other night, that fig tree, and that the owner of the vineyard says, cut it down! Cut it down. Why cumbereth it the ground? Why is it wasting the soil? Why is it taking up space? My friend, God has put you in this world for a purpose. God didn't put you here just to enjoy yourself and to live your own life and to do your own thing and go through this world and get all you can out of it. God put you here, friend, to glorify Him. If you've never received Christ as your Savior, you've never glorified God. God, in whose hand thy breath is, friend, if He should close His hand tonight on your breath, where would your soul be? Where would it be? Oh, be honest before God. I believe that one of the reasons that a lot of people don't get saved is because they're not honest with God. But I want to bring you over to the Gospel of John. I want to point out, because this was much on my mind today, I thought of this word of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, and I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. I, if I be lifted up, the lifted man of Calvary. Oh, friend, the Lord Jesus knew, as nobody else knew, what it was going to mean to be lifted up on Calvary's tree. He alone knew what it would mean as the one who came from God to go to Calvary and there be nailed by hand and foot to Golgotha's lonely tree. And in the darkness that enshrouded the scene at noonday, the wrath and judgment of a holy God was poured upon His well-beloved Son. Why was He there, we sometimes sing, as the bearer of sin? If on Jesus my guilt was not laid, or why from His side flowed that sin-cleansing blood, if His dying my death was not paid? Friend, the Lord Jesus died in the darkness of Calvary, paid redemption's price in full. Men did the worst they could do to that blessed man. Oh, think of him there on that cross, disfigured so much that you wouldn't recognize him as a man. You were to look into his face. His visage was marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. And when men have mutilated that body and done all they could to that blessed one, the spittle of his creature running down his cheek, the very hairs plucked off, a crown of thorns upon his brow, and a visage that was unrecognizable. Now he's nailed by hand and foot to Calvary. God says men will see no more, and he clothed the scene in darkness. Then said the Lord prophetically from above, he has sent fire into my bones, and it prevaileth against me. I sink in deep mire where there's no standing. I'm come into the deep waters where the floods overflow me. I'm weary of my crying. Friend, why did he go through the agony and the suffering of Calvary in the loneliness and the darkness of those 3 hours when he had to cry that orphan cry, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? God had to turn his back upon his well-beloved Son. Why was he there? Oh, friend, he was there bearing your sin. He was there bearing my sin. There paying redemption's price. Drops of precious blood that flowed from Emmanuel's veins. The lifted man of Calvary. If we were to go back to John chapter 3, we would see that blessed man lifted in picture. That's what you have in verse 14 of chapter 3. As Moses lifted the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. There was a sinning people. There was a people who had turned their back on God. There was a people who in their disobedience and in their murmuring against God had brought judgment upon themselves. Bitten by the fiery serpents, many people lay. There they were. Judgment of God upon them. Because of their sin. But, oh, friend, there was a serpent lifted on a pole. God said to Moses, put that serpent on the pole, serpent of brass. And he said, you tell the people that whenever they look at that serpent,
The moment they look, they'll live. Now, there was no virtue in the serpent that was there on the pole. You know where the virtue lay? It lay in the Word of God. Look and live. Look and live. Now, friend, that picture falls short because there was virtue in the man that hung on Calvary. But, friend, I want to say tonight that salvation is believing what God said about His Son. And tonight, all you have to do is take a look to Calvary. Oh, the picture is there in John chapter 3. But here we have not the picture, but the person. And I, if I be lifted up, said the Lord Jesus, will draw all men unto me. I want to tell you, friend, you're going to see the man that was lifted up on Calvary. Did you know that? Well, you say, but what if I die without Christ? You're going to see him. You're going to see him. He's going to draw every man of Adam's race to him. Tonight, I want to say he wants to draw you in love to himself. Friend, if the work of Christ on the cross of Calvary doesn't win your soul, doesn't woo you to the man that paid the price of your redemption, he died to save you, and he wants to save you tonight, and he's able to save you. You're not willing to receive him. There's a day coming when you're going to be drawn to him, and it won't be the son of, it won't be the man raised in picture, or the man in person. It'll be the man in power as he sits on yonder throne. That great white throne. Friend, if you're not drawn to him tonight in salvation, you'll be drawn to behold that one as you hear the awful sentence, depart from me. And I often think, what must it be for one who has known the gospel, one who has sat under its solemn sound, one who has heard the wonderful truth, God to sinners, and the work of Christ to save them. They stand there, and they look into the face of the man who was wounded on Calvary. They look at the hands, and they see the nail print in his hand. Oh, there'll be no difficulty identifying the man on the throne. No difficulty. You'll see, you'll understand, this is the man that died for sinners, that died for me, but I didn't receive him. And friend, from the very throne of God, from the very sight of the man who tonight is your Savior and able to put away your sin, hear those awful words, depart from me. I never knew you. Depart, O sinner, to thy chain. Enter the eternal cell. To all that's good and fair and bright, to all of holiness and light, bid thou thy last farewell. Friend, you look into the face of the man that died for you at Calvary. I believe that there'll be saints there. I believe that parents will be there that are saved. You'll have to say goodbye to loved ones. You'll have to say goodbye to friends that prayed for your soul. You'll have to say farewell to the preachers who did their best to warn you and tell you of a Savior's love and of judgment that would follow if you disobeyed, if you refused the Savior. You will finally have to say, though likely no words will escape your lips, you'll have to say farewell. Lord Jesus Christ, I might have had you as my Savior, drawn to him in judgment, but sent down, thrust down to eternal judgment. Friend, what is it going to be tonight? Are you going to be drawn to him in love? Oh, the drawing power of the Lord Jesus, of the uplifted Christ. He said, I will draw all men unto me. Won't you be drawn to him in salvation tonight? Won't you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ? Salvation can be yours. Why wait, friend, till it's too late? Wait till that moment when you lift up your eyes like that rich man who had his opportunity in life. Says the rich man died. He wasn't carried anywhere. He just dropped immediately into the flames of hell. And it says he lifted up his eyes, being in torment. Oh, friend, the solemnity of it. I hope there isn't one in our meeting, and you will ever lift up your eyes in the torments of hell. You may smile at that. You may think it's just a lot of talk. I want to tell you, friend, it's the truth of God's word. Just as sure as we're here tonight, if you die without the Savior, your soul will be in hell. We plead with you to come to Christ. The uplifted Savior would draw you to himself tonight. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says, thou shalt be saved.